Hello and welcome to Sound Body, a weekly program of information on health topics and ideas that can help you live life to its fullest. I'm Louise Craig. Reading about accusations made against Dr. Phil, I felt curiosity about the life and workings of this celebrity. Against my better instincts, I'm drawn to gossipy news and will admit that is really why I read the article. But it also gives some insight into the lives of people living with addiction, and since 64,000 Americans died of opioid overdoses in 2016, this is a topic we need to pay attention to. So we will read about Dr. Phil's legal trouble and also about what some hospitals are trying to do to change this epidemic of misery and death. I'm not sure what conclusion to reach about the Dr. Phil show after reading this article, but I hope you enjoy today's Sound Body. And this was a Stat News and Boston Globe investigation. David Armstrong for Stat, Evan Allen for Boston Globe. Published on December 28th, 2017, titled, Dr. Phil Says He Rescues People from Addiction. Others say his show puts guests' health at risk. He had one survivor, the reality TV test of grit and strength, but Todd Herzog was so drunk when he appeared on the Dr. Phil show in 2013 that he had to be carried onto the set and lifted into a chair. I've never talked to a guest who was closer to death, show host Philip McGraw declared on camera. TV viewers, however, didn't see the setup for this shocking scene. Herzog, who was battling alcoholism, told Stat and the Boston Globe that he was not intoxicated when he arrived at the Los Angeles studio. In his dressing room, he said he found a bottle of Smirnoff vodka. He drank all of it. Then someone handed him a Xanax, he said, telling him it would calm his nerves. America's best-known television doctor presents himself as a crusader for recovery who rescues people from their addictions and even death. But in its pursuit of ratings, the Dr. Phil show has put at risk the health of some of those guests it purports to help, according to people who've been on the show and addiction experts. Guests have been left without medical help as they face withdrawal from drugs, a Stat Boston Globe investigation has found, and one person said she was directed by a show staff member to an open-air drug market to find heroin for her detoxing niece. While McGraw has been buffeted by controversy and lawsuits since he broke out as a celebrity on the Oprah Winfrey Show 2 decades ago, the show's handling of guests seeking treatment for substance abuse disorders has largely escaped scrutiny. McGraw declined an interview request through a Dr. Phil Show representative. Martin Greenberg, a psychologist who serves as the show's director of professional affairs, said guests have never been provided alcohol or directed to where to buy drugs. In a statement, he denied Herzog was left alone with a bottle of vodka in his dressing room or given Xanax. We do not do that with this guest or any other, he wrote. He called the allegations absolutely unequivocally untrue. Dr. McGraw has a very strong sense of trying to not exploit people, Greenberg said in an earlier interview. Now, it is a television show. These people volunteer to come on. They beg to come on. And he tries to treat them with respect and to give them the opportunity to get help if they want to do that. It's not a complicated formula. But in interviews, show guests and their families described a different reality. Guests confront a painful and potentially dangerous detox as they wait up to 48 hours in hotel rooms for their scheduled taping, leading some to look for illegal drugs. One guest bought heroin with the knowledge and support of show staff, according to a family member. Another guest, who was pregnant, was filmed by a show staffer while searching for a dealer on Skid Row in L.A. It's a callous and inexcusable exploitation, said Dr. Jeff Sugar, assistant professor of clinical psychiatry at the University of Southern California. These people are barely hanging on. It's like if one of them was drowning and approaching a lifeboat, and instead of throwing them an inflatable donut, you throw them an anchor. The Dr. Phil Show said that staff members have no right to detain guests or direct or restrict their behavior and may not even know they are in danger of withdrawal or overdose. Addicts are notorious for lying, deflecting, and trivializing. But if they are at risk when they arrive, then they were at risk before they arrived, Greenberg said in the statement. The only change is they are one step closer to getting help. Typically help they could not have even come close to affording. The show's addiction segments aren't just compelling TV and good for driving huge ratings. They also serve to boost related businesses. Treatment center operators are being offered valuable endorsements in exchange for buying a new virtual reality product that features Dr. Phil offering tips and coping skills to people in treatment. Centers that buy Dr. Phil's Path to Recovery have been promoted on the Dr. Phil Show, as well as a second program called The Doctors that is owned by the production company founded by McGraw and his son Jay. Many guests are sent to Origins Behavioral Health Care, a company so closely associated with the show that some in the field refer to it as the company that Dr. Phil built. So intertwined are the two that Origins, in a Florida licensing report, bragged that the company has a reputation that even Dr. Phil recognizes. Origins, which was founded in 2009, lists McGraw's graduate school mentor, Frank Lawless, as a member of its executive team. Lawless has been a key advisor to the Dr. Phil Show since its inception. His biography on the Origins website indicates Lawless consults with Dr. Phil about potential guests and oversees resources for the guests as they leave the show. The show said through Greenberg that Origins is one of many treatment centers used as a resource and that the show doesn't consider Lawless' role with Origins a conflict of interest. Greenberg said, "No money changes hands between the show and Origins." On television, McGraw 67 plays the role of a tough-love, no-nonsense advisor with a southern twang and a dogged determination to help his guests. He promises to haunt them to the ends of the earth once he gets involved in their lives. Segments where guests resist his advice often feature harangues from McGraw, prodded by cheering from his studio audience. Many of his guests view Dr. Phil as a savior. Parents come to him begging for help saving their children's lives. For many treatment centers, his endorsement brings patients and legitimacy. They offer guests free care in return for the show's promotion. For viewers, McGraw offers hope. Some pepper the show's Facebook page with their own requests for help, leaving sad stories and phone numbers where they can be reached. The show seeks to educate, inform, inspire, and entertain our viewers, Greenberg said. He said hundreds have emailed the show thanking us for helping them face or address an issue that either they or a family member might be struggling with. The American Psychological Association presented McGraw its presidential citation in 2006, saying his work has touched more Americans than any other living psychologist. The show has also made him wealthy. McGraw, according to Forbes, is the highest paid daytime TV personality, earning $79 million last year. McGraw holds a doctorate in psychology, but has not been a licensed psychologist since 2006, when he let his Texas license expire. He became Dr. Phil after he worked with Oprah as a consultant when she was unsuccessfully sued by cattle ranchers in Texas for bad-mouthing the beef industry. He started appearing on her show and then in 2002 launched his own. His show has been a subject of unsuccessful lawsuits by guests, and his forays into the lives of celebrities Britney Spears and Shelley Duvall have sparked outcries because of concerns they were exploited. Some of McGraw's own employees have raised alarms about the treatment of guests. In one lawsuit filed last year against McGraw and his production company in Los Angeles Superior Court, a former segment director, Leah Rothman, accused McGraw of false imprisonment for trapping employees in a room to threaten them over leaks to the media. Rothman also alleged that guests complained that their lives were ruined. One guest attempted suicide after the show, according to a deposition with another staff member. McGraw denied the allegations. Rothman's attorney said the case was settled and dismissed in September. A representative of McGraw said Rothman was a disgruntled employee and noted that McGraw's production company is currently suing her in federal court. Rothman's attorney, however, said she was a hardworking and longtime employee who was vigorously defending herself in the federal case. Plaintiff's experience with Dr. Phil was that his primary interest was not about helping people on the show, but rather done for the sake of ratings and making money, says Rothman's suit. Dr. Phil often embarrassed guests on his show in their darkest hour, leaving the staff to pick up the pieces of the broken people who had put their trust in Dr. Phil. When camera crews arrived unannounced at Todd Herzog's apartment in Utah in 2013, he had no idea what was happening. The footage that later aired on Dr. Phil shows him sitting bewildered and barefoot on his couch, surrounded by his family and a two-person intervention team dispatched by the show after it was contacted by his family. "What is this?" he asked, his speech slurred and halting. "Can someone please tell me?" Herzog's hands were shaking, and he said he was afraid he was going to die. One of the interventionists explained that Dr. Phil wanted to meet with him. Herzog was a flight attendant when he won Survivor at age 21 and its $1 million prize. But his life spiraled downward after that, and he said his alcoholism intensified while dating someone who was a heavy drinker. After the show flew him to L.A. and put him up in a hotel, Herzog said he detoxed in his room over about 2 days. In a recent interview in Salt Lake City, he said he was sober when he walked into his dressing room on the set and intoxicated on vodka and Xanax when he emerged. Herzog's father, Glenn, confirmed in an interview that his son was sober when he arrived at the studio to tape the show. "Today, I had an entire bottle, like a liter, of vodka," Todd Herzog told McGraw on stage. When Dr. Phil breathalyzed him in front of the studio audience, Herzog blew a .263, more than 3 times the legal limit to drive. "You know, I get that it's a television show and that they want to show the pain that I'm in," Herzog said in an interview. "However, what would have happened if I died there? You know, that's horrifying." "The combination of alcohol and Xanax can be deadly," said Dr. Maureen Boyle, the chief scientific officer for the Addiction Policy Forum, an advocacy organization for patients and families. "No one should detox from serious alcohol addiction without medical supervision," she said, "as withdrawal can cause seizures." "The important thing here, this isn't a TV drama," she said. "This is someone's life." The show, through Greenberg and a lawyer, offered a series of shifting explanations over 2 weeks regarding the medical oversight of guests when they come out to L.A. In the interview, Greenberg said the show was not a medical facility and did not have a responsibility to monitor guests. "No, of course not. It's a television show," he said. After Stat and the Globe sent detailed questions about Herzog's case and others, however, the show in a lengthy response signed by Greenberg said, "Guests with substance abuse problems are medically supervised 100% of the time." The show said that any time a guest is likely to need inpatient rehabilitation, medical personnel from a treatment center are flown to L.A. to supervise and manage any medical needs. Herzog, the response said, was medically supervised the entire time he was involved with tapings of Dr. Phil. The supervision, according to the show, included a nurse practitioner flying with him to L.A., a nurse sitting up with him during the night, and a medical professional from a treatment center who happened to be in L.A. at the time. The show declined to name any medical personnel. Then, this week, Greenberg, through the lawyer, responded to follow-up questions by qualifying his earlier statements about medical supervision. "We mean 100% of guests agreeing to treatment. It does not mean that a guest is being monitored 100% of the time," he wrote. He noted that substance abusers adopt very clever means to obtain alcohol or drugs, and we cannot control what we cannot control. The director of the treatment center, where Herzog agreed to go for help at the conclusion of the show, said no one from that facility monitored Herzog while he was involved in the taping of the show. I was watching them walk him out severely intoxicated, said Steve Thomason, who was then the executive director of the Arbor in Georgetown, Texas. That was the first time I ever laid eyes on him. Thomason said he and his medical staff couldn't offer medical supervision in California because they are licensed in Texas, and the person being monitored must first give consent to treatment and be on the premises of the treatment facility. He said he was so upset by the condition of Herzog on the Dr. Phil show and the manner in which the show was conducted that he never had anything to do with it again. I honestly regret having ever done it, Thomason said. Other treatment centers contacted by Stat and the Globe similarly said they are barred in most cases from providing the kind of medical supervision described by the show. Origins, which has treated scores of people who have appeared on Dr. Phil, provides a nurse to accompany a patient only on the airplane ride from Los Angeles to one of the company's addiction treatment facilities in Texas or Florida, said Chief Executive Drew Rothermel. Thomason also said he talked to Herzog's mother after the show, and she told him her son was sober when he arrived at the studio that day. Herzog's mother, Shirley Herzog Keeler, declined to comment, but said the show helped her son get well. I have nothing to say but good things about the show, she said. We were on the show to help Todd. Herzog said the show gave him opportunities to enter treatment, which he is thankful for. He said he was recently contacted by a show producer and asked to write a letter thanking McGraw for his help, which he did. I'm grateful in a lot of ways for the show, for getting me help in the nicest places in the country. That's a gift right there, he said. There are some things about the show that I don't like and that I don't think are real. I should have been in the hospital in that sense. There should not be liters of vodka in my dressing room. Family members of two other show guests said that they had no medical support, and in one guest's case, that staff members allegedly helped her get drugs. Marianne Smith's niece, Jordan, appeared on the show in 2012 in an episode called Young, Reckless, and Enabled. Smith said she contacted the show to help her niece break her heroin addiction. Smith said that when she, Jordan, and Jordan's mother arrived in Los Angeles from out of state, Jordan began going through withdrawal. Smith said she and Jordan's mother were concerned for her well-being and told a show producer she needed heroin. They told us where to go, Skid Row, Smith said. I was so scared. The producer also told them not to say who suggested the trip, Smith said. She did not remember the name of the producer. One reason Smith said she and her sister were so panicked about Jordan's situation is they had no medical assistance for her. We never had anyone, she said. It was just the three of us girls the entire time. She said the three were in L.A. for 2 nights before appearing on the show. When asked about the experience described by Smith, Greenberg issued a denial. We could go on and talk about Jordan L. or 10 others, he said. Same reality, all had medical supervision. Joelle King Parrish brought her 28-year-old daughter Caitlin from Lansing, Michigan to the Dr. Phil show in October of last year for help with her heroin addiction. Caitlin was 6 months pregnant, and King Parrish said she assumed that when they touched down, there would be some kind of medical supervision. If Caitlin went into withdrawal, it could endanger the life of her unborn baby. But they were alone when Caitlin began to detox. King Parrish, who is a registered nurse, said staff members told her to take care of it. So she took her daughter to the hospital. After 4 hours, Caitlin left without receiving treatment. The producer texted to say she should stay at the hospital. But Caitlin would not, and King Parrish was terrified the baby would die if her daughter did not get medicine or drugs. King Parrish and Caitlin went to the Dr. Phil studio, where another show staffer joined them. All three got into a cab headed for Skid Row. The staffer shot video, which later aired on the show. In it, King Parrish tells the camera, "I am scared to death right now." The camera follows Caitlin from behind as she walks towards homeless encampments. King Parrish said Caitlin was gone for about a half hour while she shot up heroin. The trip made for riveting television. Experts say it could have harmed Caitlin or her baby. That is incredibly deadly. You never know what you're getting in a single dose, said Boyle, adding that Caitlin should have been under medical care the moment she landed in L.A. Greenberg said that show officials agreed to do Caitlin's story only if her mother agreed to be 100% responsible for managing her daughter's health and possible withdrawal. The show's motivation for doing the story, Greenberg said, was to get Caitlin's unborn child out of danger. The staffer that filmed the Skid Row state trip, Greenberg said, simply documented the natural behavior she observed, which would have occurred whether she was there or not. The statement said it was unfair to highlight the experiences of a few guests out of thousands who've appeared on the Dr. Phil show. Few people contact us just to let us know how well things are going, the show stated. The fact you can cherry-pick 3 or 30 or 300 guests, for that matter, who seek to blame others for their plight or struggle in life is not the least bit surprising. One guest who credits the Dr. Phil show with saving her life is Nikki Dietrich, who was 8 months pregnant and addicted to heroin when she appeared on an episode last year. She said she was living in an abandoned house with her boyfriend and prostituting herself for money to buy drugs. She was sent to an Origins facility after her appearance and is now sober. That was like a miracle, Dietrich said of her appearance. They hooked it up for sure. The Dr. Phil show, I have nothing bad to say about that experience. Even after intensive treatment for opioid and alcohol addiction, relapse is common, but the show does not track the success or failure rate of guests for whom it arranges treatment. Why on earth would they? Greenberg said, adding that the show is not the organization providing treatment. After his first appearance, Herzog went for treatment, but then resumed drinking. When he returned to the show for a third time in 2014, he found vodka placed in his dressing room again, he said, but this time he was wary of becoming incoherent. He drank some, but not all of the bottle. The show denied that vodka was left in Herzog's room. Herzog's last appearance was late last year, and this time, he said, he initiated it. He said the first three times he felt coerced into appearing. The last time he wanted the free treatment that guests are offered by centers appearing on the show. I know this time I wanted help. I wanted to get sober because I was dying, the now 32-year-old Herzog said in an interview. This appearance, he was with a handler who supervised him closely before taping, giving him a shot of alcohol to hold off seizures, Herzog said. He has no memory of what happened on stage. He knows from watching the show that he was brought out in a wheelchair, then suffered some sort of medical distress. Herzog said this week that he is sober. He works at a restaurant in Utah, he's reconnected with friends and family, and he's dating someone. I'm so much happier now. I mean, so much happier, he said. I'm living again. Jordan also went to treatment after her appearance, but she didn't get well, her aunt said. It was a complete bust, Smith said of the Dr. Phil show. Didn't help at all, just ratings for him. People are going to him like us with serious life-threatening problems looking for help. It just doesn't happen. And we move on to an article called Stop Opioid Addiction, Where It Starts in Hospitals. This is written by Blake Farmer, published on January 15, 2018, for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Doctors at some of the largest U.S. hospital chains now acknowledge that they went overboard with opioids to make people as pain-free as possible, and now they shoulder part of the blame for the nation's opioid crisis. In an effort to be part of the cure, they've begun to issue an uncomfortable warning to patients. You're going to feel some pain. Even for people who've never struggled with drug abuse, studies are finding that patients are at risk of addiction any time they go under the knife. I had the C-section, had the kiddo, said Michelle Levy of Las Vegas. And then they tell me, it's okay, you can keep taking the pain medications, it's fine. Levy is a mother of three and a paramedic who has dealt with many patients coping with addiction. She welcomed the high-dose intravenous narcotics while in the hospital, and upon her release, gladly followed doctor's orders to keep ahead of the pain with Percocet pills. But then, she needed stronger doses. Soon she realized she was no longer treating pain. Before I went to work, I took them, and to get the kids after school, I had to take them, she said. Then I was taking them just to go to bed. I didn't really realize I had a problem until the problem was something more than I could have taken care of myself. She said she was becoming like the patients with addiction problems that she transported by ambulance, lying to emergency room doctors to con a few extra doses. Soon, she lost her job and her fiancé before going to rehab through American Addiction Centers and stitching her life back together. Opioid addiction is a reality that has been completely disconnected from where it often starts, in a hospital. Anesthesiologist David Alfrey said he was rarely stingy with the pain medicine. If I could awaken them without any pain whatsoever, I was the slickest guy on the block, and it was a matter of enormous pride, he said. Alfrey is part of a working group at the Nashville-based consulting firm Health Trust behind hospital efforts to set aside rivalry and swap ideas about a top priority, reducing opioid use. It starts with patient expectations, and I think over the years, patients have come to expect more and more in terms of, I don't want any pain after surgery, and it's an unrealistic expectation, Alfrey said. That expectation exists in part because pain treatment was institutionalized. Hospitals are graded on how well they keep someone's pain at bay, and doctors can feel institutional pressure and on a personal level. I just wanted my patient not to be in pain, thinking I was doing the right thing for them, and certainly not an outlier among my colleagues, said Mike Schlosser, chief medical officer for a division of HCA, the nation's largest private hospital chain. Schlosser spent a decade as a spinal surgeon, putting his patients at HCA's flagship facility in Nashville through some of the most painful procedures in medicine, like correcting back curvature. He said he genuinely wanted to soothe the hurt he caused. But now looking back on it, I was putting them at significant risk for developing an addiction to those medications, he said. Using HCA's vast trove of data, he found that for orthopedic and back surgeries, the greatest risk isn't infection or some other complication, it's addiction. So the nation's largest hospital chain is rolling out a new protocol prior to surgery. It includes conversation that Schlosser basically never had when he was practicing medicine. We will treat the pain, but you should expect that you're going to have some pain. And that's where we need to leave it today. Thank you for tuning in to Sound Body. Stay well and come back next week for more healthy living ideas. This has been Sound Body, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm Louise Craig, and I hope you'll join me again next week for more health updates and information for healthy living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.